This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
How the shutdown affects mortgages. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. As a shutdown looms, anxiety has driven bond yields up. Those yields are connected to long-term interest rates and mortgages. It's one reason mortgage rates have been rising, that and the Federal Reserve's fight against inflation. Rising mortgage rates have in turn been chilling the housing market. We learned this week the number of pending home sales fell more than 7% between July and August, more than analysts were expecting. But some in the housing business are already looking past the high rates of today and anticipating a better tomorrow. Marketplace's Justin Ho checked in with a few lenders.
Plenty of people want mortgages right now, but rising rates restrict what they can afford, says Dominic Miartin, CEO of Optus Bank in South Carolina.
A lot of the borrowers that would have normally qualified for $500,000-$600,000 house are migrating towards $250,000-$300,000 houses because that's simply all they can qualify for.
So competition for those homes is heating up even more. Chris Duncan is senior loan officer at LaSalle State Bank in Illinois. He says a lot of his customers are frustrated.
Customers who will come in and pre-qualify for a loan, and they're waiting around, you know, 6, 8, 10 months until a house comes on the market that they can buy.
Duncan says many homebuyers are willing to borrow at today's rates because they're betting rates will eventually fall. He says more borrowers are asking about adjustable rate mortgages.
And a lot of our borrowers are assuming that in 3 or 5 years, those interest rates are going to have come back down.
And that will all depend on how long the Federal Reserve keeps interest rates elevated. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The Biden administration is making big investments in things like infrastructure and computer chip manufacturing, but you need people to fill all of the jobs created by those federally funded projects. And you may have heard we have a worker shortage. So the White House is rolling out a playbook for worker training. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has that.
The Biden administration says this is a chance for communities to invest in the skills and well-being of workers. That's according to the Associated Press, which received an advance copy of the 8-page training playbook. The AP says the White House is expected to release the playbook today, and it emphasizes things like apprenticeships. In September, the White House announced almost $94 million in grants for worker training programs in 25 states and the District of Columbia to prepare people for jobs in manufacturing and information technology that don't necessarily require a college degree. The White House says the training programs will target rural and historically marginalized communities, and they'll partner with community colleges on the apprenticeships. Grants have already been awarded to community colleges in Nevada, Iowa, Oregon, and Massachusetts, and a group called the United Indians of All Tribes Foundation has received $2 million. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
12:01 Sunday morning. That is when funding for the government officially runs out, barring some miracle of bipartisan cooperation. So there is less than 72 hours to go until what would be the fourth government shutdown since 2013. Marketplace's David Brancaccio spoke with the editor-in-chief of The Economist magazine, Zanny Minton-Beddoes, who argues this shutdown drama is ultimately missing the point. Here's David.
What do you make of our federal budget mess over here right now? President Biden signed a law a few months ago which capped dollars for the things that Congress can actually have a say over. Seemed like there was some order being brought to this process, but I'm not seeing order.
It's a circus all over again. But what actually worries me much more about the U.S. is not the consequences of a shutdown, which would be, of course, terrible for the people involved. But the bigger picture problem is that the U.S. economy, which, you know, is not in recession and we're at peacetime, is running a 7% of GDP budget deficit. And bond yields have risen. They're now, about 4.5%. So the debt service cost is becoming a real problem. The last time the U.S. had bond yields where they were now, I think debt was about 35% of GDP. It's now 98%. So the cost of the U.S. debt is growing dramatically. The deficit is the highest it's been in peacetime. That's what worries me.
Yeah, and people should remember, you just mentioned it quickly, which is that if we were in a terrible recession, it might make some sense to run up the deficit a little further. But this is not a recession.
The economy is not in recession. Unemployment is incredibly low. So to be running this scale of deficit right now is really reckless. And the problem is that, as you know, David, it's not really because of the spending that the folks in Washington are arguing about right now. It's not about what's called discretionary spending. It's really about two things, primarily entitlements, the cost of spending on Social Security and Medicare. And actually, looking forward, it's also about tax revenue. Because if you remember, Donald Trump cut taxes. Those taxes, they're going to expire under current law in 2025. So all of the projections that are made right now about where the deficit and where the debt are going to be going forward assume that those taxes will end in 2025, those tax cuts. And you know DC politics better than I do, but I'd be very, very surprised if all of the Donald Trump's tax cuts were rolled back, especially the ones for the middle class.
So you're not at some level applauding dissident Republicans who are dragging their heels on this stuff?
No, I'm not, because they're focusing on the wrong thing. I think that what we have now is a whole load of drama about something that doesn't matter, which is the relatively short-term part of discretionary spending. And we have no appetite on either side, and certainly not amongst the Republicans, to really deal with what does matter. So no, I don't think this drama is a substitute for a serious discussion about U.S. fiscal policy.
Zanny Minton-Beddoes, editor-in-chief of The Economist. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was Marketplace's David Brancaccio there. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.